السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. There's 38 days till Ramadan. Have I counted correctly? Or am I off? Yeah, 38 days. Well, it depends on the size. You have to be careful there. But roughly, there's about 38 days till the holy month of Ramadan. And as humans, in life, and in our religion, and in every facet of everything we do, there's the concept of gradualism. When things are done gradually, then we see positive results. We see productivity. We see something coming out of it. Where there's haste, where it's lastminute.com, where there's no prior preparation. Imagine, can you imagine, like, having a wedding and just saying, like, right, the wedding's tomorrow. Just imagine that. Or, for example, I know some people might do this, but, like, okay, we booked a holiday, we're flying out tonight. Guys might be all right, the sisters won't be. And even for a lot of guys as well, you need time to process, you need time to plan, you need to take time off work, you need to rearrange your things, you need to pack what you need. Have you got... And if we end up doing things like this, lastminute.com, so gradualism we have in the world, and when it comes to our religion, like when Islam started in Makkatul Mukarramah, there wasn't five times salah from day one. Five times salah came after a long time, actually, after many years. Isra and Mi'raj, and this is the month where we speak about Isra and Mi'raj, that happened almost 12 years or more after the first revelation, towards the end of the Meccan period. So Muslims were only praying two times a day, getting them into it. Look at like the concept of alcohol. Like the Arabs were alcohol addicts. And even after accepting Islam, alcohol wasn't initially prohibited because of the reason, very clear, Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that if it had been said from day one, right, no alcohol, no this, no this, people would have run away. It would have been too tough. So this is concept of gradualism. That's why we have the surah Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun. Interesting story. The alcohol was still allowed. One of the imams stood to lead the salah. And he recited, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Instead of saying, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, he says, أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. Talking about the mushrikeen, like, I worship what you do, what you worship, and you worship. Instead of saying, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. And that's why Allah then revealed the next verse of the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقَرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. O believers, don't come for salah whilst you're intoxicated. So again, it didn't say intoxicants are haram. It said, at the time of salah, you need to refrain from it, before salah. And then gradually, as the iman increased, as they had a more depth of understanding, then the verses came of a total prohibition. Similarly, we have the concept of, we can say, salah. Salah, you could do it in different ways. So one is, we have, there's a gradual process, isn't there? The adhan is called out, you hear the adhan, and then you respond to the adhan. And then you think, okay, let me make my wudu. So then you make your wudu. You walk to the masjid. You perform the sunnah. And then the imam stands up and you say, Allahu Akbar. That salah is going to be different. Because it was a gradual preparation. You are preparing. You heard the adhan, you responded to it. Then you made wudu consciously, being aware. On the flip side, right, running into the masjid, imam's halfway through the salah, joining the salah, there's going to be a difference, right? The first salah, the second salah, is going to be a massive difference. Let's take Hajj as an example. There are some people who've made intention to go Hajj this year. May Allah accept you. May Allah make the journey easy. I know it's not the easiest of tasks. I'm not saying it's difficult. It's not the easiest of tasks. It's challenging, and especially with the new booking systems, it can get a little bit complicated. May Allah make it easy for you. So there are some people who've planned to go for Hajj this year. And what they've also done is they've started reading up about it. They've started watching YouTube lectures about it. They're inquiring, are there any classes? Some people I know have already purchased their ihram. They've already got their flip-flops. They're already in that mindset, trying to, you know, become a bit punctual with their salam. Some have started growing their beard. Some sisters have started covering their hair that they normally never used to. And they're just becoming a little bit more particular why we're going to go to the house of Allah. Let's make preparations. Their Hajj journey and experience is going to be very different to those people, which is going to be a lot of people, who are going to be working till the last minute, busy as anything, as we all are, and then literally just stuffing the bags, turning up at the airport, all right, let's go for Hajj. Okay, like, what do you read in Tawaf? I'm not sure. When do we go to Mina? Is my ihram on correct? Hajj will be done, but the experience will be very different. Where I'm getting at with this is Ramadan is around the corner. Ramadan is also a month. It's not right. Okay, the issue is this. We view Ramadan as the month of just fasting, don't we? Right? In our minds, we think, like, what's there to do in Ramadan? It's about fasting. What do you have to do? You just don't eat. I'm good at doing that anyway. I can do that. I've done it all these years. But is Ramadan only about fasting? Or is it about much more than that? It's about much more than that. And we turn up to Ramadan, lastminute.com. Every year it comes, it starts. And if we don't prepare, and those of us who have prepared previously, you can compare to the times when you have and you haven't. So let's not make that mistake again. I call it a mistake. Because Ramadan is a unique time when you can gain proximity to Allah. Ramadan is the most beneficial time for a believer. It's the season for a believer. Everything's discounted. The rewards are immense. They go sky high. You can become so close to Allah just by doing small actions. Allah makes it so much easier for you. The things that you've wanted, the things that you've desired, the du'as that you've been making are readily accepted in the month of Ramadan. So Ramadan is not just fasting. Ramadan is a mindset. Ramadan is awareness. Ramadan is spirituality. Ramadan is focus. Ramadan is dua. If we can start from now preparing ourselves gradually, it doesn't have to be done in all one go, gradually. Because what tends to happen is Ramadan starts and we're on a high because everyone's doing it. By the time the fifth fast comes, we fall flat again. And then we struggle, just seeing it through. And then the last 10 days goes in shopping for Eid. So, and whereas that is the time where we're supposed to exert the most. Not to say don't shop for Eid, do that as well. I know a lot of people try and do all of that even before Ramadan starts. That's part of Ramadan preparations as well. Maybe you could add that to your list this year. That any Eid shopping, any gifts that you need to get, so that it doesn't disrupt the most precious moments of Ramadan, you get that done before Ramadan arrives. So Ramadan is a time of focus, a time of spirituality, a time of awareness, a time where when you can gain the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, just look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which month comes before Ramadan? Sha'ban. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would actually fast most of Sha'ban. Most of Sha'ban he would fast. This was his normal habit. So most of the month. It wasn't just about the fasting. It's what comes with it. When you're fasting, right? So the greatest thing is you don't need to have lunch or breakfast. So you're saving a lot of time. And that time you can focus on maybe reading some Quran. We make an excuse, I don't get time. Maybe you can read an Islamic book, for example. Do some dhikr. Maybe you could attend the masjid for salah instead of praying wherever we are in that time that we're saving. And when you're fasting, you're much more conscious. Something haram appears. Obviously, you're fasting, so you're a bit more careful. You want to say something, but you're reminded you're fasting. So fasting is not just staying hungry. There are so many benefits that are attached to it. And thus, Ramadan is much more than just fasting. But if we don't prepare for it, it's going to be just another Ramadan. One of the key practices of Ramadan is dua. Dua. And that is something we want to start practicing from now. And regarding dua, well, we can talk about dua all day if we want. But let's try and speak about that which is the most beneficial. Which is, question for you guys, which is the most beneficial dua? MashaAllah. So, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Very good dua. And again, when I say most beneficial, maybe different scholars have categorized it in different ways. I'm looking for something very specific. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah fid dunya wal akhirah. MashaAllah, beautiful dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the best thing you can ask for after iman is al-afiyah. So that is a brilliant dua. I'm looking for something else. Again, asking for forgiveness is awesome. We do a lot of that in Ramadan. I'm looking for something else. Balighna Ramadan, yes, but there's a dua that we want to be making. There's a dua we want to be making. And I'm going to tell you, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, a great scholar, he said, I searched, I went through the Quran, I went through the Hadith, and my mission was to find the most beneficial dua, anfa' lil'abd. That dua which is the most beneficial. And I turned the pages, I went through the scripture, and I searched and searched and searched. And he said, I found it between, in one ayah, I found it where? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. He says, I found that the most beneficial dua a person can make is asking Allah to help you to do those things that please Him. Asking Allah's help to do those things that please Him. Now, where does this dua appear? What we need most in our lives, Allah is so kind. Allah is so kind. What we need most in our lives, He has made most abundant. So in terms of human life, what do we need the most? What do we need the most to survive? Air. Is there a lot of it? Or is there scarcity? Have you ever heard, like, the air's finished today? Right? That's what we need the most. What do you need next? Water. Is there more air or more water? There's more air, because air is more important. What do we need next? Food. What's more important, water or food? Is there more water or more food? Can you see? That which you need to survive in this world, Allah has provided it in abundance. Not just in a materialistic or a physical way. Even in a spiritual way as well. That which you need the most, Allah has not left it voluntary. That if you feel like doing it, you'll do it. If you don't feel like doing it, you won't do it. Allah has made it mandatory, compulsory. You have to, in every single salah, recite, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. If there is some person who never lifts their hands to make any dua, Allah wants to ensure that you make the most beneficial dua. And use, this is a dua. When you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, this is a conversation. Start practicing from now. Some ulama actually say, when you recite Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you should pause and imagine Allah is responding to you, because He is responding to you. He does respond to you. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah responds to you. Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah responds to you. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'een. When we say Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'een, oh Allah, we only seek your help. And it's only you that we worship. This is part of the dua. And Allah responds to you by saying, this is between me and my slave. And for my slave is whatever he or she asks for. And then we go on to make that epic dua. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide me to the straight path. Guide me to the straight path. Now, when we are making this dua, we're reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. We're reciting this dua. And ulama have said that when you're reading this, Allah has not just said to you to say, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, ask for the guidance. Rather, Allah wants you to envision you traversing that path by envisioning those people who are on the guidance. Look at the ayah, what does it say? Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. We have to bring to mind. Who are those people whom Allah has guided? And we find this in the Quran in another place. Who are the people that Allah has blessed? Allah has favored. Who are they? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Who are they? مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Prophets. And Siddiqeen. Now the prophets, we have their stories in the Quran. You can think about them. You can't visualize a prophet though. You can think about them. You can imagine them. But we've not seen them with our eyes. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says who? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Then Siddiqeen, Shuhada, Salihin. And we have ample examples of these. Ample examples. Especially in the last 4 months. Has there been a shortage of shuhada? And before shuhada, higher than shuhada and lower than prophets. You've got prophets. And then you've got a level called as-siddiqeen. As-siddiqeen. And as-siddiq is not just someone who speaks the truth. It's a person whose private life and public life is the same. Who speaks the truth. Who thinks the truth. Whose actions are actions of the truth. And they are truthful with Allah. More than anything, they are truthful. They are truthful. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا أَحَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. There are some people, some slaves of Allah. They are so truthful. The covenant that they made with Allah. The vow and the promise and the dedication, the commitment they gave to Allah. And when do we find out whether a person is truthful or not? When you are tested. When you are tested to the core. And what we've been witnessing now, over the last 4 months, haven't you seen people that have been tested to the core? Would you say these people are truthful people? This is not a history book. Up until now, the stories that we are hearing from Gaza, up until now, we used to hear stories like these in the history books, in the books of the pious people of the past. We used to read them and we were fascinated that, wow, can such people exist at the face of such an evil and a tyrant aggression, oppression, genocide? In the face of all of that, when everything has been stripped from you, life, means of life, family, connections to the world, gas, you name it, electricity, there's no food, there's no water, and you don't know whether you're going to survive. Despite all of that, to stand up and say, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. To say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. To still be committed to fulfilling Allah's commands. To still continue the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To still perform Salat al-Jum'ah. In masajid that have been totally demolished, more than 1,000 masajid have been demolished in Gaza from the 1,200 that are there. And despite that, to continue, Allah has shown you in your lifetime an example. We definitely know that there were many shaheed, more than 30,000. But I don't think it would be an exaggeration that we are seeing examples of people who have a level of sidq and sincerity and truthfulness with Allah, the likes we have not seen in our lives. Allah is showing you an example. When you pray, you're asking Allah for that level of sincerity and truthfulness with Allah, that level of commitment. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِي. When you say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Envision these people, the Anbiya, then Siddiqeen, Shuhada. This is dua. This is preparation for Ramadan. This is preparation. Allah is preparing you. What greater time have we got? What greater opportunity? So that's the first thing I wanted to mention. And along with this, if we look at the Quran, there are certain verses that are really relevant. Many verses are relevant. أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Ramadan is a time for change. And everybody tries to change in Ramadan. But if we start on the first of Ramadan, it's too late. Utilize the opportunities that we've had, what we have now. The whole world has changed. The whole world has changed. Non-Muslims are changing. You know, in the Birmingham March, was it last week, 2 weeks ago? In the Birmingham March, one of my friends, he came up to me and he said, we started the march and there was this non-Muslim couple, so we approached them. And we go to them, you know, how's it going? What do you think? How do you feel about this march? you know, there's so many Muslims around, and how do you feel? It's about Palestine, it's about Al-Aqsa, it's about a Muslim cause. And this non-Muslim couple looked at them, and they said, like, what are you on about? They goes, like, how do you feel? We just want to know how you feel. They said, we have been campaigning for this cause all our lives. You guys have just turned up today. You've only just started. We've been doing this all our life. We go to London. We go to other cities. We take part in the campaigning, in the marches, in the protests. We didn't see Muslims in these numbers. We're just seeing you guys turn up today. They had to apologize. They said, we're really sorry. We've offended you. So the whole world is changing. The question is, when are you going to change? Because when change begins, that's when we start seeing elements of victory. There's going to be no victory without change. And Allah will not change the situation until the people don't change themselves. Ramadan is a month of change. But we can't wait for Ramadan to start. Utilize this opportunity. أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Allah is saying, has the time not come for people's hearts to be shaken by the book of Allah and His signs? And then he gives an example. The people before you who got the book of Allah, what happened was, فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ It just like, they got comfortable with life. They got comfortable in their comfort zones, in their luxuries. Like, it's been 4 months now, and a lot of us are thinking, oh, it's okay. The last time the temporary truce was announced, so many masjids, they seized doing the qunut and nazila in Fajr. The atrocities haven't ended. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning towards liberation. And this is something great that we are seeing. It's time to continue. Utilize this for your personal change, to bring transformation in our lives. The whole world, you can see it's impacted everybody. You've heard what Cameron's been saying for the last few days. If it wasn't significant, why are prime ministers and ministers and parliament members in the UK, in the US, and all over the world, why are they speaking about this one topic? And yet you're finding it painful that your imam is continuing talking about this on a Jummah. Yet when they are speaking, it tells you it's impacting, it's a global impact it's having. Utilize this to your advantage. Ramadan, 38 days. If this is if this isn't going to change us, what will? أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Allah's saying, hasn't the time come for your heart to become shaken, for you to change, for your hearts to soften? Do you really think 30,000 lives have just gone in vain? What, we're just going to say goodbye to it all? We ended up in this situation because we forgot about it. We can't let it happen again. And we can't differentiate between one life and 30,000 lives. One life is too much. One life is too much. We can't differentiate. And this is how we've ended up in the situation that we are. I conclude by mentioning, Muslims are people of optimism. We go back to the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was expelled from Makkatul Mukarramah, when he wasn't made to feel welcome there anymore, and he was leaving Makkatul Mukarramah, Allah revealed a very special verse to him. Allah said to him, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ That the same Allah that revealed the Quran upon you, the same Allah is going to return you back to Mecca. Palestine will return. I don't hear anything. Do you believe it? I don't think so. Do we believe it? Masjid al-Aqsa will return to the Muslims. Palestine will be free. It's going to be liberated. Now, how it happens, when it happens, that's not up to you. We have to learn to trust Allah. Allah didn't tell me or you that you sort it out. No, we're responsible for making the effort within our capacity, especially being in the UK, staying within the framework of the Sharia, staying within the framework of the law. But the result's not in your hand. How it happens, Allah will deal with it. We have to learn to trust the planning of Allah. And we see an example of this. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't in Mecca anymore, and Mecca was taken from the hands of the Muslims, it was painful. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 6 years later, he saw a dream. And in this dream, he sees that he and his Sahaba are making Umrah. And after the Umrah, they are shaving and trimming their hair. And 1400 Sahaba got ready with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don the ihram and they go towards Makkatul Mukarramah. They are intercepted at a place called Hudaybiyah. And that's where the treaty takes place. And they are told that you can't go forward. You can't go ahead. And the conditions that were agreed, like the ICJ just released their verdict or whatever you want to call it, the actions that they are suggesting, and a lot of people are not happy. Well, you're not always going to be happy with everything. But we're not people to just continue moaning about everything. Let's stop moaning about everything. Oh, they're not doing this. They're not. Take the good and build on that. Give people hope. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. The fact that he got discussed and spoken in the international court is a huge thing. Yes, it's not to our liking. We wanted more conditions. We wanted them to call for a ceasefire. But let's focus on the good and the positives that are there. Muslims are people of optimism. Otherwise, we're just going to kill off all the hope. And people are just going to think, this is a lost cause. Let's not do anything about it. And then we're back to square one again. At the time of Hudaybiyah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to agree to certain conditions which were not desirous to the Muslims. They're not favorable to them. They didn't like them. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he became quite furious. And he said, "Alasna ala al-haq wa hum ala al-batil? Aren't we on the truth, they're on the falsehood? Why do we have to bend down to these kind of conditions? No, we shouldn't accept it." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went along with every single condition. Apparently, it looked like a defeat. When they were returning to Makkatul Mukarramah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grabbed Umar. And he said, "Do you know what Allah just revealed to me? Allah has just revealed to me, inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. We are going to grant you the ultimate conquest of Makkah. Makkah is going to be yours." The ulama say the 10 years truce, ceasefire, peace agreement was so beneficial, apparently it didn't look it, it was so beneficial that the Muslims doubled in this period. The number of Muslims that were there before, apparently, in the face of it, it looked, this is horrible. How can we bow down to these conditions? But what happened? The number of Muslims doubled. And people saw Islam from a very close point of view. There were so many benefits and wisdoms. Time doesn't allow us to go into what benefits there were. However, at times like this, we want to be optimistic. We want to have hope because we know that the same Allah that returned Makkah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is going to return Palestine. Palestine will be freed. Masjid al-Aqsa will be freed. Do not belittle the efforts that are taking place. Everything is significant. If you are sincere, then it holds a lot of worth and value in the sight of Allah. So, as Ramadan's around the corner, my final words are, we need to step up our efforts. This is not a time to give in. There's a march taking place in London tomorrow. Those of you who can make it, please do go and attend. At the same time, don't allow all of this to go in vain. And we're in this situation because of our inaction. Let's not remain inactive. We've started acting. Let's continue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us and grant us the opportunity to see Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. If we stand up where we are and just keep moving forward, there's brothers outside who need space. Jazakum Allah khairan.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته أجمعين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. إن الله وملائكته صلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وألف بين قلوبهم، وأصلح ذات بينهم، وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين المظلومين في غزة، اللهم انصرهم نصرا عزيزا وآتهم فتحا قريبا. اللهم أيدهم بتأييدك، اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا وسندا وظهيرا، اللهم واقية كواقية الوليد. اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى من كيد الغاصبين، اللهم أعيد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين، واستعملنا في تحريره يا رب العالمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا رمضان. اللهم بلغنا رمضان، اللهم بلغنا رمضان، اللهم بلغنا رمضان. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعيذكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون.
رسول الله، حي للصلاة، حي للفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله،
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أهوى. سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى. ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى. سيذكر من من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. Two quick announcements. First of all, inshallah, we continue the Great Fajr campaign. Again, it's for the cause of Palestine, Masjid al-Aqsa. I request all brothers and sisters and children to make an effort to attend. Fajr Salah this Sunday will be at 6:30 a.m., inshallah. Please make an effort to come and bring people along with you as well. And as we announced last week, we have started giving brothers and sisters the opportunity to sponsor an iftar in the month of Ramadan. One night is £500. MashaAllah, many brothers have come forward and taken some of the slots available. There are still some more available, inshallah, if anybody wants to. Either you can do it individually, come together as a family, and contribute towards an iftar. You know the rewards and the benefits of providing an iftar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. Dua of Maghfirah is requested. Fatima Hassan Mia passed away in India. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a Maghfirah. And dua of Shifa is requested for Shamsuddin Qazi, who's unwell. Make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him afia and shifa. Similarly, Raja Khalid is in hospital. Make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him afia and shifa as well. Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaibina wa saghirina wa kabirina wa dhakarina wa unthana. Allahumma man ahyaytahu minna fa ahyihi ala al-islam wa man tawaffaytahu minna fatawaffahu ala al-iman. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah wal-mu'afata ad-da'imata fi ad-dini wad-dunya wal-akhirah. Ya shafi al-amrad, ishfi maradana wa ishfi marad al-muslimin. Allahumma anta ash-shafi, la shifa'a illa shifa'uk, shifa'an la yughadiru saqama. Rabbana atina fi ad-dunya hasana wa fi al-akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.